this will be the second last of the series. The last of the series will be after the mission conference Sunday. Names related to construction. The Great Pyramid of Cheops is so finely oriented that compasses can be adjusted by reference to it. Some believe the pyramids may be a scale model of the Earth's hemisphere, which served as an almanac by means of which the year could be measured to within about a minute of time. And this from a structure that rises to a height of a modern 40-story building with a base that covers some 40 acres. This pyramid contains more stone than all the cathedrals, churches, and chapels built in England since the time of Christ. The Great Wall of China has a mainline length of 2,150 miles, completed during the reign of Qin Shi Huang, 221 to 210 BC. He has a further 2,195 miles of branches and spurs. It is 15 to 39 feet high and up to 32 feet thick. In Tokyo, to withstand an 8.5 magnitude earthquake, the world's longest suspension bridge opened in Japan, and 5,350 cars crossed in the first hour. The Akashi Kaikyo Bridge links Shikoku, the smallest of Japan's four main islands, with the biggest main island of Honshu. The bridge length is 12,828 feet, make it 3,847 feet longer than the Golden Gate Bridge and 9,368 feet longer than the Brooklyn Bridge. The Sears Tower in Chicago, now known as the Willis Tower, is the world's tallest inhabited building, rising 110 stories to 1,451 feet. It has a TV antenna above, which makes the entire building 1,729 feet. The Burj Khalifa in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, however, has the most stories, more than 160, and rises to 2,716.5 feet. The Pentagon has earned the distinction of being the world's largest office building. It has a total of 6,500,000 square feet, of which 3,700,000 square feet are used as offices. Yes, you should have guessed it by now. The names of Jesus that we're looking at this afternoon have to do with construction. The two names are the Builder and the Chief Cornerstone. Let's consider each in turn. First of all, we have Roman numeral 1, the name, the Builder. The Builder. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 reads, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Although Jesus never called himself the Builder, we can call him by this name based on Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It's not difficult to understand why people call God the supreme architect. He was the master builder who supplied Moses with the intricate designs of the tabernacle and insisted that everything be done according to his master plan. Jehovah was always interested in bringing things into being. As it is written, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It was to be expected that John would attribute identical characteristics to Christ. The apostle wrote in John chapter 1, verse 3, "All things were made by him, the Word, Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made." Throughout the New Testament, Christ is represented as a builder, and certain things became obvious when the scriptures are examined. Letter A, the master plan to suggest. The master plan to suggest. Sometimes, putting the cart before the horse is the right thing to do. During World War II, General Douglas MacArthur asked one of his army engineers how long it would take to throw a bridge across this river. 3 days, said the engineer. Good, snapped the general. Have your draftsman make the drawing right away. 3 days later, the general asked the engineer how the bridge was progressing. It's all ready, reported the engineer. You can send your troops across right now if you don't have to wait for plans. They aren't done yet. Building that bridge without a plan was the right thing to do. But more often than not, a builder who operates without a plan encounters problems. His employees have nothing to study, with the result that a building will be disappointing and confusing. When God created the human body, He considered what He was about to do. Afterward, David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 139, verse 14. Paul evidently believed that his Lord had a preconceived plan to make in himself of twain one new man. Ephesians 2:15. Furthermore, the apostle indicated that this plan had existed from eternal ages. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Paul described this master plan, which remained unrevealed and unexplained throughout the ages, and which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 5. God's plan was very explicit. Nothing was left to chance. When the Son of God came to earth, He came to put into operation that which had been decided in the eternal counsels of God. Peter said of the Lord in Acts chapter 2 verse 23, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Letter B, the materials supplied. The materials supplied. Plans are useless unless materials are forthcoming by which they can be put into operation. Paul believed that God desired all racial strife to cease and that all men should live harmoniously. Throughout centuries of human history, this appeared to be an impossibility. But the death and resurrection of Jesus performed miracles. Jesus announced to Peter his intention to build the local church. And later the apostle referred to the Christians as lively, that is, living stones built up into a spiritual house. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 22, In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Evidently, men were filled with sinful blemishes and unfit for a place in God's temple. Christ came to reclaim, cleanse, and beautify lost stones and to incorporate them into the various local churches. Without His intervention, guilty people would have been rejected eternally. Let us see the men to serve. The men to serve. Prior to the Lord's ascension to heaven, He said to the disciples in John chapter 14 verse 2, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That is the city in which Christ and His bride will reside forever. It is called the New Jerusalem. See Revelation chapter 21 verses 9 to 27. Until we enter that perfect place, The Lord sent the Holy Spirit to be the divine overseer of the establishment of the local churches on earth. Obviously, workmen are necessary. And one of the greatest privileges ever given to men and women is that of helping in the establishment of the local churches of Christ. For example, Paul described himself as a wise master builder in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10 and indicated that others were also helping in the work of construction. The Lord Jesus Christ is building edifices which will defy the ravages of time. They will last throughout eternity. Compared with the work of redemption, even the creation of the universe fades into insignificance. S.J. Stone was correct when he wrote, "The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ her Lord. This brings us to Roman numeral 2. The name, the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. Jesus is the builder using himself as the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. By the way, do you know that Jesus was an American Indian? His name was Chief Cornerstone. Just kidding. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 to 20 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of a household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 6 says, "Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." The size and strength of cornerstones used in ancient buildings continue to amaze modern engineers. How the ancient builders placed those large blocks in exalted positions remains an inscrutable mystery. It's still possible to see some of these stones, for archaeologists have uncovered these precious masterpieces. Some of the cornerstones used in Solomon's temple were more than 38 feet long and exceeded 100 tons in weight. It was not a cause for amazement when ancient buildings attracted the attention of the prophets. Isaiah, who saw Solomon's temple on many occasions, wrote in Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." Simon Peter, who lived centuries later, quoted that scripture and likened it to the Savior. We saw that in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 6. Paul wrote a similar theme in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4, "That rock was Christ." What can we say about Jesus as the chief cornerstone? Letter A, the stone that suggests. The stone that suggests. God said to his servant Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone." He did not create it. He did not prepare it. He took that which already existed and placed it where it could perform its divinely appointed mission. Evidently, Isaiah used the imagery of stones cut from the mountains and prepared by men for their position in the temple of Solomon. God spoke of another structure, a living temple, in which men and women would be living stones. The foundation of that building would be the rock of ages. He would not come into being. That is, He will not be prepared by human hands. He who had been from eternity would be laid in a new position to accomplish something never before attempted. Letter B, the stone that supports. The stone that supports. It was essential that huge stones be obtained for Israel's temple, for the weight to be supported was almost beyond estimation. Situated on the crest of a hill, the structure had to rest solidly on strong foundations. Otherwise, it would have slipped into the valley. The temple erected by King Solomon was threatened by time and circumstances and ultimately destroyed forever. The spiritual temple of which the New Testament preacher spoke was a building which cannot be destroyed. The stone which the builders rejected became the headstone of the corner. And as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 6, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Paul also referred to this dependable foundation when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Empire State Building in New York City soared above the sidewalks at the world's most crowded crossroads, 5th Avenue and 34th Street. Simple and majestic, it rises 103 stories, that is 1,250 feet, or nearly a quarter of a mile, straight up from the street. The building has 6,000 windows, 75 miles of main water pipes, 50 miles of radiator pipe, 700 tons of aluminium and stainless steel in the outer walls. There are 2 million feet of electric wires, 350,000 electric light sockets. The Empire State Building can house 25,000 workers. An additional 40,000 daily visitors can be accommodated. And in an emergency, 80,000 can find shelter there. This enormous weight, 303,000 tons of steel, stone, and other material, demanded a sure foundation, and that it has. The foundation reaches down 55 feet and rests on stratum granite, the firmest foundation in the world, for it is a basic rock, which is the earth itself. Geologists assure us that this bedrock will never slip or give. Similarly, Jesus, as the stone that supports the local church, will never slip or give. For some time, the Washington Monument in the nation's capital stood only partially built. When it was decided to carry the structure to its completion, the question arose, will the foundation laid years before be sufficiently strong to support the enormous weight of the current stone? To test it, a strong cord was fastened high up in the incomplete structure with a marker tied on the lower end of the cord. The marker rested lightly on a pan with soft wax. Any movement of the massive walls or in the foundation would be registered on the wax. One day, the wax was crisscrossed with markings. The foundation is giving way, said the builders. Dismayed and discouraged, they began to investigate the cause of the markings. They discovered that an owl had flown into the top of the monument and gotten tangled in the cord. The flapping of his wings had set the cord in motion and caused the markings on the wax. It was a false alarm. The foundation was sufficiently strong to support the enormous weight of the current stone. Similarly, Jesus, as a stone that supports the local church, is sufficiently strong. One of the modern engineering marvels is the Golden Gate Bridge across the entrance of San Francisco Bay. The mighty bridge, spanning more than a kilometer, carrying the tremendous traffic of one of the great metropolitan areas in America, is supported only by two huge cables. Yet, in fact, each cable is made up of some 20,000 separate cables twisted into a unity. Each one of the individual cables capable of supporting the equivalent weight of a modern car. Together, they perform the job appointed unto them. And just as the two cables support the bridge from above, Jesus, as a stone, supports the local church from below. Let us see the stone that shelters. The stone that shelters. Ira D. Sankey made famous a song which expressed this idea. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Most people have known the experience of sheltering behind a cornerstone. Probably that was one of the reasons why Peter wrote that Jesus was precious in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 6. A free translation of the passage might be, "He that dependeth on Him shall not be disappointed." George W. Bosch was a famous engineer who built the gigantic seawall to protect Galveston, Texas, from the horrible floods which had brought disaster to the city. He built his seawall with the sure confidence of a thoroughgoing engineer and a master workman. From Galveston, he went to Oregon to build railroads in an undeveloped section of the state. Bosch was in a camp 40 miles away from the nearest railroad when an exhausted messenger rode in and handed a telegram to his assistant. The message said that the Galveston seawall had been washed away by a second furious hurricane. The assistant was in consternation and dreaded to hand the telegram to his chief. Bosch read the telegram, smiled, handed it back and said, "The telegram is a black lie. I built that wall to stand." He turned away and went about his work. It turned out that the message was based on a false report. True, there had been a hurricane as severe as that which had flooded the city before, but Bosch's seawall had not been moved. It stood firm. Similarly, Jesus, as the stone that shelters, stands firm. Letter D, the stone that strengthens. The stone that strengthens. Writing to the church at Ephesus, Paul declared in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, let us read it together. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints, and are a household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Unity is a secret of strength. Cracks in a wall are the forerunners of disaster. Paul expressed the unity of the local church when he wrote in Colossians chapter 3 verse 11, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, born nor free, but Christ is all and in all." A cornerstone unites walls in which stones are cemented together to make a complete structure. The true local church is completely dependent upon the Lord who created it. Without the cornerstone, there will be no building. Without the chief cornerstone, there will be no local church. Christians owe everything to their Savior. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Jesus is the stone that strengthens. If we look at this matter from a modern perspective, we can say that Jesus is the internal air pressure that shapes. What do I mean here? The newest thing in architecture is bubbles. Bubbles buildings of various kinds are appearing. They are nothing but thin fabric held in shape by internal air pressure. They are being used to cover swimming pools, tennis courts, hotels, stores, gardens, storage sheds, and just about anything. A religious group has even put up bubble churches that seat 300 worshippers. That might solve our property problem. In Akron, Ohio, David and Vicky Schumacher live in a bubble house that covers nearly half an acre. Near Cleveland, Dick Pretzer has a bubble greenhouse in which he grows lettuce and tomatoes. Bubble buildings have some advantage over the more conventional types of structures. They are cheap and quick to construct, easy to relocate, and not too expensive to maintain. They have one drawback, however. Reduce their air pressure, and they slowly collapse and sink to the ground like wilted leaves. Jesus is the internal air pressure that holds the bubble in shape. Jesus, the builder and the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the builder. One of the strangest houses in America is located near San Jose, California, known as the Winchester Mystery House. After nearly 40 years of building, the house is still not completed, and material sufficient for another 40 years construction is on hand in three large storehouses. Estimated to have cost about $5 million, the rambling structure has 2,000 doors, 10,000 windows, and 150,000 panes of glass. It boasts 40 stairways, 47 fireplaces, and 13 bathrooms. Because not a dozen of the 150 rooms are on the same level, the visitor must constantly go up and down stairways. There are all sorts of bizarre stairs to bewilder and mislead, but most of them have 13 steps. Each of the steps is 2.5 inches high, with an 18-inch tread. In one place, it's necessary to walk up 45 steps in order to ascend 8.5 feet. And there are 9 turns in the staircase. Some of the stairways are like dead-ended streets. You climb them and find yourself against a blank wall. Hallways are usually only 2 feet wide. There are trapdoors in many of the floors. Windows of all sizes and shapes are to be found, not only in walls and ceilings, but also in chimneys. Hundreds of art glass windows open into blank walls. Doors are built in the most unexpected places, some opening directly outwards from upper story rooms, so that one could easily fall out. Only the best materials have been used in the construction of this fabulous mansion. The floors are of the finest woods. No veneer is used. There are thousands of square feet of surfaces finished like a piano top. Art glass glints in windows and doors. Gold and silver chandeliers hang in many rooms. The grounds about the mansion are surrounded by dense hedges and a high fence over which no one can climb. Within are lower gardens, trees and shrubs brought from many parts of the world. It was after her husband and her only child died that Mrs. Winchester came to California and bought a 17-room house then under construction. She was an ardent spiritualist and believed that she had received a message from the Spirit telling her that as long as she kept building, she would live, but if she should stop building, then she would die. So Mrs. Winchester began to work her own way to salvation and hope for eternal life. She withdrew into a mysterious mansion and refused to see anyone. In the 38 years of her life in the house, she never visited another room, another home, rode a train, or entered a public building. When President Theodore Roosevelt came to visit Santa Clara Valley, the San Jose Chamber of Commerce tried to get Mrs. Winchester to receive him, but she refused. Mrs. Winchester finally died. Her patchwork mansion was purchased and opened as a public curiosity. Mrs. Winchester wanted to work her own way to salvation and eternal life by building. But the real builder is Jesus. As mentioned earlier, Jesus came to reclaim, cleanse, and beautify lost stones and to incorporate them into the various local churches. Mrs. Winchester shouldn't be building. No matter how hard you try on your own, you cannot earn eternal life. Eternal life is appropriated by faith alone. Works cannot give eternal life, but only Christ can give eternal life to those who believe that He died on the cross for them. Trusting in the finished work of Christ, we receive Him. We obtain that bread that perisheth not, but endureth unto everlasting life. My dear friend, what bread are you seeking? Have you obtained that bread that perisheth not, but endureth unto everlasting life? Have you received Christ as a Savior? Jesus is the chief cornerstone. When Ptolemy built Pharos, he wanted to place his name upon it. But Sostratus, the architect, did not think that the king, who only paid the money, should get all the credit while he had none. So he put the king's name on the front in plaster, but underneath in the eternal granite slab, he cut deeply the name Sostratus. The sea dashed against the plaster and chipped it off bit by bit. And although the plaster lasted out the time of Ptolemy, the name Sostratus finally stood out for years after. Yes, the name Jesus has been engraved into the chief cornerstone of the local church. This name stands for eternity. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, You establish Your church by being its builder and chief cornerstone, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Nevertheless, Your flock is constantly exposed to robbers and wolves during the present wilderness sojourn. We look to You for much needed help and protection. Strengthen the servants, the ministers and teachers, that they hold fast the faithful word without wavering. Enable them to lead the flock in the plain paths of sanctification and separation from all that is false, and to be worthy examples of the believers. Amen and amen.